Welcome to Reconnect, Stories of Faith and Friendship, the podcast where we explore how our lives are transformed through connection. I'm Bridger Moreland, Assistant Minister at West Nashville Church, and each week we dive into inspiring stories, practical insights, and moments of faith that bring us closer to God and each other. Today we're talking about something we all struggle with at times, hearing God's voice. In the middle of life's busyness and noise, how can we recognize His gentle guidance? Join me as we explore how God speaks through scripture, prayer, music, and the everyday moments we often overlook. And together, we'll discover how to tune in and truly listen. So, grab a cup of coffee, take a deep breath, and let's reconnect. A few years ago, I found myself in one of those seasons where everything seemed to be happening all at once. Work deadlines were piling up. My family needed me in a dozen different ways, and my to-do list seemed endless. Every day felt like a whirlwind, and at night, I'd collapse into bed feeling completely drained. One evening, after another chaotic day, I sat down to pray, desperate for some kind of clarity. I asked God for guidance, for direction, anything to help me feel less lost. But as I sat there, all I could think about were the things I hadn't done yet, emails to send, bills to pay, errands to run. My mind was so noisy that I couldn't hear anything but my own stress. Frustrated, I gave up thinking, why isn't God answering me? I need help, and I'm not getting anything back. It wasn't until a few days later, during an unexpected moment of quiet, just sitting in my car after grocery shopping, that it hit me. I had been so focused on demanding an answer in my way and on my timeline that I hadn't even stopped to consider how God might already be speaking. In that stillness, I realized that His voice had been there all along. In the kindness of a coworker who offered to help, and the laughter of my kids, in the beauty of the sunrise I'd ignored while rushing to start my day, He was there. But I'd been too busy and too distracted to notice. And that moment in the car wasn't some earth-shattering revelation, but it reminded me that hearing God's voice often means slowing down and looking for Him in all the little things. Sometimes we don't need to chase answers. They're already right in front of us, waiting for us to quiet the noise and pay attention. And that moment taught me something profound. God's voice doesn't always come in the ways we expect. We often look for grand signs or dramatic answers, but God speaks to us in subtle, quiet ways that can easily go unnoticed. His guidance might be woven into the fabric of our everyday lives through a kind word from a friend or a verse that speaks to our situation or even a nudge in our spirit during a moment of stillness. The challenge isn't whether God is speaking, it's whether we're tuned in to hear Him. And throughout the Bible, we see this same pattern, God choosing to communicate in ways that require us to pause, pay attention, and trust His presence.
So now we are joined by our Minister of Worship, Rebecca Lind, and also by Andrew Thomas, our audio engineer over at our church. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi. It's great to be on your podcast.
Right. Rebecca, what inspired you to write Lord Jesus? Was there a moment or scripture that sparked the idea?
Yes. So a couple years ago, I was kind of, down on my luck in between jobs and, life was just crazy. And then I had multiple jobs and I was so busy focusing on all of my work and everything going on in the world around me. That I didn't really take time to, just sit back and really enjoy life and enjoy what God's given us. At the time, I'd actually had an acquaintance of mine from high school I'd heard had passed away at that time. And I realized that life is really precious and it's hard to be sad when you're being grateful, when you're being appreciative. And so, I wrote the song based on my faith. And
that's a hard time in life when you have to face that type of tragedy. I mean, what emotion or message were you hoping to convey through this song?
I think the message would be to, you know, as my mom used to say, I think it's a great saying, you know, take time, smell the flowers. I think that applies to take time to spend time with God, take time to listen to where God is everywhere around us. And that's hard to do in a noisy world.
It very much is. You know, how did you hear God speaking to you during this writing process then?
Well, it was before bedtime, and I usually always pray before bedtime. And I was saying a prayer. I was having a, you know, conversation with him and praying. The words actually, sometimes I struggle with words writing when I write, because I'm more of a like music melody hook person. And I was surprised how easy, you know, the words came to me. And I'm very grateful to God for that. That was directly him influencing what I was writing. So
that's great. Were there challenges that you faced while writing the song? I mean, how did you overcome any things that you struggled with?
Yeah, well, there was one part that was throwing me, and it was the second part of the second verse. And I wasn't sure quite what the right wording would be. And I had thought about it. So I asked a couple of friends of mine to come join me on stage. We wrote it right, finished it right in the sanctuary of the church. And it was before band rehearsal. And we sat down and they helped me finish it. And they came up with a great line. It was, Lord Jesus, I confess, I don't bow my head as often as I could. And I thought, wow, you know, like that's another whole element, you know, it's not like I'm so blessed with my church job and everywhere I'm at right now with life. I get to come to church every Sunday. But, you know, I know as, you know, someone that used to not go as much to church, it's tough. And it's tough to spend time with God and tough to...
Yeah. What do you hope listeners will take away spiritually from this song?
I think spiritually, I hope they take away that it's okay to, you know, everyone's saying, oh, I'm doing the next thing. I'm doing this tomorrow. I'm doing this. You know, what are you doing next week? It's okay to sit down and take time to reflect and to look within yourself, listen to God, listen to that voice in your heart, and not focus so much on the worldly things. Be grateful for what we have. Waking up every morning is just such a blessing. I actually put a line in that at the end of the song. Lord Jesus, I'm just grateful I'm not dead. And I really think that's a miracle we all get to experience every day.
It's beautiful. Thank you. How does performing Lord Jesus impact your own worship experience? Does it feel any different when you're up there performing words that you wrote and feel and came from your own personal experience? I mean, what's that like performing that on the stage for the congregation, for their worship experience?
Well, I'll say it really means so much that, you know, when I first brought this song to the band, it was, you know, a brand new song. You know, we were kind of making our way through it, not even sure what sounds we wanted, you know, what the soul instrumental solos would be, everything. And it was really just such a team effort that everyone put together. So to get up there and have fun, you know, with my church family and have fun with and singing words that I said in a prayer, my own personal prayer one night, and being vulnerable and letting the congregation share in that, I think I enjoy it. I really enjoy it. And it's an honor to sing a song that I wrote.
Well, no, as part of the congregation, we also enjoy it. What have you heard as far as feedback from the congregation or listeners that affirmed how God is working through this song for them?
I've heard from a few people, both at the church and outside the church as well, some other friends of mine that I have, that have said that this song made them realize that the fact, like my one friend was like, wow, like I have gas in my car. I have, you know, and it's just so many. And we were just sitting there and she was just like counting off all the things she has. And she's like, I didn't even realize, like, you know, I had all of this. I think that really brightened my day when I heard that. And it always does when somebody says that any type of music that I've worked on has helped.
Let's switch over and bother Andrew now. But... All right. Did you have any moments during recording or mixing where you felt God's presence guiding the process through this?
Honestly, I feel God's presence a lot every time I'm at the church. And every time I get to work on songs that praise him, it feels like I'm clarifying his message. You know, I get to really lead people to the emotional response and lead people to his word through clarifying what needs to be heard at certain points and really just clarify his message. So I feel very led every time I get to get up there on Sunday and mix the worship team and all that.
So you really see that clarity that you're offering as part of your ministry, your personal ministry, creating music that glorifies God.
Yes, very much so. Yeah, I feel like my journey into audio and my journey into music was very closely tied to God. I started playing guitar in a worship band for about 5 years at a church that my grandfather was the pastor at. And he wasn't pastoring there anymore. We hadn't been there for a good amount of time. And they just made a post that we're looking for a guitar player. We're trying to start up a contemporary service. And that led me into audio because I had just started getting curious about audio. And I learned a lot. I had a lot of fun. I found what piqued my interest. And I feel like that was God leading me to that. And ever since, I mean, I truly believe I've got to thank for all the skill set that I have and really just the ministry I get to provide to people by clarifying his message and really leading people to the word through mixing songs, through making sure yours and Tommy's mic can be heard.
I'm not sure that's always a great thing. You do beautiful work up there, brother. Are there specific elements or techniques, and this is obviously talking to us audiophobes that love this stuff, are there specific elements or techniques that you use to highlight the message or and emotion of the songs that the worship band is performing?
I'd say my most powerful technique would be the simplest one, which is the volume knob. You know, I get to, you know, it's
turn that one. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, everyone in the band, they're all giving out their heart. They're all pouring out their heart when they're playing the worship music and trying to lead people through song to God. And all of them have their own special moments. And I get to highlight that through turning them up or down. And another, I'd say, actually, would be reverb, everyone's favorite part of audio, which also elicits an emotional response. It really makes you feel like you're in a big church, which we are.
We are, yeah. And we're very blessed to be in such a big
church. It creates an atmosphere that you can kind of just close your eyes and listen and, you know, say, God, what are you trying to tell me through this song? So I'd say those would be a couple techniques that I use to try to convey the message.
What does working on songs like this do for your own faith? I mean, how does that deepen or help your understanding of God in your life?
Well, it really helps me reconnect. You know, when I first moved to town, I didn't really find a church until I found you guys, honestly.
It's such a funny story.
Yeah. You know, I moved to town close to 3 years ago, and church had always been a big part of my life. I think our practices were also Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
I went in every Wednesday and every Sunday to the church and played music that praised him. And, you know, you get a moment where, let's say I'm really, like, you know, riding the fader for the vocal, for example, or just overall listening to the lyrics and listening to the different messages that each of these songs convey about how God works within our lives and how we should praise him how he leads us in times of difficulty. And I feel like every time I get to work on a praise song, I'm very blessed because it reconnects me or reminds me how lucky I am that we have a God who really loves us and really, really helps guide us.
Thank you for that. So What's next for your little musical collaboration here? How do you hope to continue using music to serve God? Rebecca, you have any other originals up your sleeve that we're going to hear anytime soon?
Yes. Well, actually, me and Andrew and our friend Max wrote a worship song not too long ago that I'm pretty excited about.
Oh, now I'm excited too.
It was so cool writing with Andrew and getting to be part of that creative process. I'm excited. So
it's one of my favorite things when you get three people who are strong in their faith, and what I mean by that is really just people who have dove in and really understand how God works in their lives, and you get three people in a room and just talk about that and try to, you know, highlight that, highlight how God has worked in each of our lives to lead others. You know, it's what we're called to do. We're fishers of men, you know.
Yeah, I love that story. It's my favorite story.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, I imagine you're catching quite a few people out there with this beautiful song that you wrote there. And I feel deeply blessed to have heard it the first time too.
Thank you.
Given that kind of feedback, I mean, what do you think makes Lord Jesus resonate so deeply with listeners?
I think, you know, I hope it's the realness and the, you know, it was hard for me to put, you know, what I had prayed in a personal prayer to God essentially on paper to make it into a song. But I felt like a lot of what I was praying that night when I wrote the song, other people would probably be praying similar things to what I was praying. And so I sat down and just prayed on it.
That's great. And with that, I think we're going to have to break here and actually play it for our listeners.
Here is Lord Jesus by Rebecca Lynn.
Jesus, I know I have a light. I know I got a roof over my head. Lord Jesus, I don't want for anything, and I'm just grateful I'm not dead. Some days I just feel like giving up. And I see God's everlasting love. Oh, Lord Jesus, you make me whole. I am nothing without. Jesus, you make me whole.
Do appreciate your time today, guys.
Yeah,
thank you. Able to come back on another podcast sometime.
We'd love to.
Yeah, this was so much fun. Yeah. I really like this new thing. This is cool.
Yeah, it's
great. With
the
podcast. This is
exciting. I'm having a great time with it. I'm getting a lot out of it personally, though. Thanks for sharing your stories and being really open about it, guys. You are two beautiful people, and I hope this highlighting this song like this helps other people on what you intended for the song to be.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, we have a drop on Friday of the worship band performing this song live, and stay tuned for that music video to hit the airwaves.
Yeah. Oh, that's so exciting. That's so cool. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, guys. See you soon.
Thank you. Bye. See you soon. Bye. Bye.
We're joined now by Lizzie Johnson, the Children's and Youth Minister at West Nashville Church. Lizzie, there's a lot of different Bible stories out there that talk about examples in God's communication and how he's speaking to us. A couple of my favorites, I mean, first one is Elijah, where there's still small voice, and that's coming from 1 Kings 19, because there's this dramatic showdown with the prophets of Baal, and Elijah sought refuge in this cave, and he was feeling really overwhelmed and alone. But God didn't speak to him through this mighty wind or earthquake or fire that we see in other parts of the Old Testament stories. He spoke in a gentle whisper. And it's always reminded me that God often speaks to us, not in really big, grand displays, but in quiet moments when we take time to listen to him. Have you felt that in your life where you feel like you're being spoken to, but it's very, very quiet and you have to work to listen?
Yes, I don't think I've had any major fire showdown moments either. So it's
no fire in a burning bush or anything like that.
No. So it's always the small voices. For me, it's usually smaller than a small voice, I feel like. It's more those gut feelings that people say that's the Holy Spirit. And it's kind of like when I'm reading or listening to a passage or a commentary or a sermon, and something kind of stands out to me and will start to convict me. And like if it stays in my mind, that's the moments where I think, okay, maybe I need to listen to this. It's annoying sometimes because I wish it was a little more clear. But I was listening to a speaker talk about the Urim and the Thummim that God would speak to the priests with, those stones that they would pull out, almost right. Like you ask a yes or no question, and depending on which one you pull out, that's God speaking. And she was like, we always like to think that if we had that direct communication, that we would just, you know, we'd be so connected with God and we would totally do what he says, but we're still people. So, right. I mean,
we're still like pulling a magic eight ball and shaking it, trying to get something divine out of it. So,
yeah, but even if I knew exactly sometimes and wasn't trying to discern the gut feeling, I think I'd be more like Jonah, unfortunately, just be like, right, God. So,
well, I can understand that. As much as I would like to not relate to Jonah, I feel like I'm often Jonah going, I don't need to do that. We don't need to save them. I'm very mad that you're not taking care of me instead of all of these other people.
Mm-hmm. But I think the exciting part about the Jonah story is that even while he's going through the growth process of aligning his heart with God's heart, he's still living into his calling and converting people. That, like, all the sailors on that boat, their lives were changed, even though Jonah didn't go there with the intention to do that. So I guess I find comfort in that, like, I don't always know what God wants me to do. Sometimes I think I know and I'm not ready to do it, but I know that God's a lot more powerful than me. So he's going to keep working things for his kingdom and good no matter what.
I think another story that I pull out a lot is John 10, where it talks about Jesus and his sheep. As Jesus describes himself as this good shepherd, and his sheep know his voice and follow him, I just think that's a beautiful metaphor that shows us that our relationship with God grows stronger the more we spend time with him. And by staying close to the shepherd, we learn to recognize his voice amid all kind of life distractions.
Yeah, that's great. I just want to get to a point where I can discern quicker, I guess. And I think it's that familiarity with the voice. And it's very comforting that I guess it's like a muscle we can practice. Like if you're not good at it, if you don't feel like you can just recognize God's will for your life right away, then all it is just spending more time with him. And that's something we can all do.
I feel personally, and I'd like to hear your take on it, on modern ways that God speaks. I mean, we have all these great biblical examples of God's communication, but I don't believe that God's voice just stopped echoing with the last page of the Bible and we close it and we're done. I firmly believe that he continues to speak to us today, but it's often in ways that require this faith or awareness and patience, really, to recognize. I know a lot of times when I'm reading scripture, the Bible's called the living word of God for a reason. It's because it continues to speak into our lives no matter how much time passes from it. But sometimes a verse will stand out to me as if it was written just for my situation. And that's when I feel like God's speaking through his word and providing wisdom or comfort or direction or something when I need it most. What are some ways that you feel that God is still speaking to you today?
Yeah, well, I definitely resonate with, you know, the word is the living word of God, and he still speaks through that. As a kid, well, it's funny to say as a kid, but anyways, end of high school when I'm trying to figure out where to go to college, but also at other points during my childhood, if I was trying to get like confirmation on a decision, I would kind of like look for start noticing places where that would stand out in the Bible. So for me, I wanted to go to school to be a musician, but I felt like that was not a very practical decision, maybe not a very wise decision. It definitely worried my mom, so I had some thinking to do.
And we do worry about our kids for things like that, yeah.
Yes, I appreciate it. So I started noticing just all the places in the Bible that there's music, like all the Psalms, but even, you know, when the Israelites are coming out of Egypt and they're rejoicing and singing and having the harps and all that, tambourines, and David with his, you know, soothing Saul. So I don't know, I found that to be like confirmation that yes, it's okay to do music. But now that I'm a little bit older, I wonder if that's like me putting my thoughts and feelings out there in a way, like I'm the one who's saying like, okay, I see music, I'm okay. I don't know how to describe it very well. So anyways,
I don't think you'll get me arguing against music not being a form of speaking with God. I mean, you just think about it, just prayer and meditation, you know, prayer isn't just about talking to God. It's always listening. And those moments of silence and reflection that we have, we give them the space to place impressions on our heart or bring clarity to our minds. And these nudges often come as a general sense of peace or an idea we haven't considered before. But a lot of times in meditation, I'm listening to meaningful music there. It's not always complete silence. And I don't know if it's like just through that meditative thing I'm trying to connect with God, or if it's through people that are offering this music into our lives, that God frequently speaks through others this way. You know, whether it's friends or mentors or even strangers who you listen to on the radio with a message, those words and advice and conversation or what you're feeling in their words, it seems to touch exactly what you're struggling with. You know, it can be his way of guiding you. So surrounding yourself with both the people and the music that they bring who seek him can amplify this channel on a way to communicate with our Lord.
Yeah, I do agree with that, especially with that feeling of peace that you get when you start to think, oh, I think maybe this is what I'm supposed to do, or this is what I'm hearing. And you start to feel that feeling of peace. That's how I felt when I moved to Nashville, because in 2022, I had been telling all my friends and family for like a year, like, I'm going to move to Nashville. I'm going to move to Nashville. And finally, in the summer of 2022, I started saving some money, but I didn't apply to any jobs and I didn't look for any places to live. And so my parents were like, hey, Lizzie, you told us that you were going to leave on October 13th or whatever day it was, sometime around there. And so are you? And I was like, well, I don't know. Like, I don't really have the details situated. And so my mom and dad played a clip. I can't remember. The guy who hosts Family Feud. I think that guy.
Steve Harvey, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and so he has a clip where he's talking about how you have to jump and trust that your parachute will open. Jump and God will take care of you. And so I went home that night and I posted on Facebook, hey, I'm moving and I don't have anything organized, but I'm leaving on this day. So if you know of anything, let me know. And I put in my 2 weeks at my job the next day. And wow. My best friend is a very logical, practical planner. Hey, let's have the details sorted. Less impulsive than me. So she sat me down and she was like, Lizzie, this doesn't seem like a good idea. Like, can you wait until, like, just now that you've decided you're really moving, now apply to jobs and now find a place to live. And then when you have that sorted, then move. And I was like, nope, I have to do it now. And even though I was making a really life disrupting decision that had a lot of potential to go wrong, I didn't feel anxious about it. And lo and behold, it worked out. And actually, Terrence, the bass player at church, reached out to me and said, hey, I heard you're moving to town. There's a gig playing piano at the church I work at. If you want it, here's who you can talk to. And I was like, well, I guess I'm moving to Nashville for music, so I guess I should say yes. And now here I am talking to you as the children's minister. That's awesome. At the church that I decided to play piano at. So yeah, I think it's that feeling of peace and people speaking into your life, kind of nudging you, that external calling, as I've heard it called.
Well, I think through circumstances and events, I mean, life often unfolds in ways that guide us if we pay attention to them. You know, there's that old saying about doors closing, but another one opening. And you might be faced with a challenge that winds up strengthening your faith, or some unexpected blessing, like Terrence reaching out and bringing you in, that points you toward your next step. I have a hard time believing that all these things are coincidences, because they're often God's way of orchestrating his plan. I believe that the Holy Spirit lives within us and prompting us with peace and conviction or clarity in these moments of decision. And it might feel like this gut feeling that something isn't right, or an overwhelming sense of calm when we are on the right path, but I believe this Spirit's whispers are one of the most personal ways God communicates with us, because God's voice is always present, but recognizing it requires us to slow down and pay attention. And by staying connected with him through scripture or prayer, or relationships or music, or just events around us, we become more attuned to hearing his gentle guidance in our daily lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to touch on what you said about slowing down, too, because in prayer, Brandon would always talk about how prayer is a conversation. And so he challenged me, like, take some time to pray, but try to do it as a conversation, which was a very new experience for me. And it was cool because I need to do it some more, but in that time that I tried to do it, I think the verse of the day on the Bible app popped up, and I don't know, so I was just taking that time to meditate, and I don't remember what I was asking, but I would kind of ask a question and then sit for a moment and just be. And so the verse of the day, I just felt like I need to send this to a friend. And I did. And she was like, wow, like, that was so impactful. I really needed to hear that. And so that was really cool. But if I hadn't taken the moment the time to slow down and sit in that, then I wouldn't have known to do that. And so I think that's something I need to work on more, because I'm a very go, 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 or just crash hard person.
Yeah.
But the crashing isn't really listening. The crashing is just like, you know, turn off everything. So yeah, I need to
There's a lot of challenges in, you know, just recognizing God's voice, though. There's so much noise in our life. Lots of distractions. We're too busy. Technology, technology, and more technology. The stress. I mean, you know, a lot of this can just drown out the voice of God.
Mm-hmm. One thing that's been helping me is I have muted all my social media notifications, and I try not to go on there. I sometimes do get sucked into like reels still, but that's helped a lot. And on the one hand, I don't hear about news until a little bit later. Like the Palisades fires were burning for 2 days before I heard about it. Or when we had Hurricane Helene and Milton, I did not know about Milton for like a week because of not being on social media. But I think it helps me have a quieter mind, less anxiety. I struggle with comparison a lot, so being off of social media kind of helps take that out of the equation. And also, I think it brings me closer to the people I'm in community with in person, because that's who I'm finding out about news. That's who I'm able to focus on. And for me, that makes me feel a lot more grounded than being on online all the time.
Yeah, I think there has to be a lot of reflection, especially when it comes to social media and just the news in general. Because it can be completely overwhelming. Sometimes you have to ask yourself, you know, does this bring me peace? Is it selfless and loving? Am I listening and tuning into this for a particular purpose? You know, is mm-hmm. this aligned with scripture? I mean, does this align with what God has told me I need to do in writing? But I think there's a lot of myths out there about how God does speak to us. A lot of people expect audible words like in a movie coming down mm-hmm. versus some type of subtle guidance that comes in there. There's a big difference between our desires and fears and what God actually wills for us.
Mm-hmm. I like when Brandon talks about like fear versus peace. Fear usually brings division, but if we are, you know, finding peace, like that brings unity among groups of people. And I don't know what my point was with that, but I'm just
subtle editing.
Yeah, no, just Brandon would just make a point to discuss that in Bible study. And I guess I'm finding ways in my life to move away from fear and move into peace and power and things like that, which is definitely related to digging into community, but also making those choices. Like, you know, if something is causing fear and division, is it something that I need to, like, sometimes it means I need to challenge it, I need to face it. And sometimes it means, like, for me, social media, I need to just turn it off.
Right. Well, I think that's important for controlling our life. And it's a good practice for listening to God, because one of the tools to reduce the noise is definitely a digital detox. You know, have a little bit of a silent retreat, you know,
mm-hmm.
and in order to have those mindful practices with a focus on God, you can't be focused on your cell phone at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I am guilty 100% of this. But, you know, it gets hard, but if you can make it a practice to set aside quiet time, maybe journal or write reflections, actually read scripture intentionally, and listen without an agenda in your prayer. And that's a hard one for me. You know, I usually go in with mm-hmm. my list, but you know, it helps for me to hear other people's testimonies of moments when God's voice brought clarity or direction. It helps me to be more vigilant about listening.
I think, sorry, I feel like, yeah, good luck with editing this, because I don't always say things that are linear. But as you're saying that, it was making me think of, well, okay, so I think where there's fear, that's not being fully connected with God in those moments. God doesn't want us to experience fear. And sometimes I had conversations with Brandon about this, how I think I'm almost scared to hear what God has to say, because, I mean, scared's like kind of a strong word, but I think it's like I'm not always ready to let go of what I want. And if I hear God say something and he's trying to take me away from something, you know, towards something better, I have this weird mental disconnect where, like, I know that God has good plans for me and I want the good things that God has for me in a general sense. But then on, like, a very acute, immediate level, I, like, just, it's so hard for me to loosen my grip on some things. But, yeah, and so I think it's just that, you know, the more time you spend with God, the more you recognize his voice. And I don't know, I just have, I guess when you said, no, it's not really a myth of prayer, I don't know why I feel that way sometimes, but I think that's something I'm definitely trying to grow through when it comes to hearing God's voice. Like, I don't know why I feel uncomfortable by it sometimes. Well, maybe I should be, you know, like, God sometimes wants to jar us out of bad patterns and habits, but at the same time, I think I've blown it a little bit out of proportion. I don't want to hold so tightly to the things that I want to hold on to sometimes, but I don't know. It's the flesh and the spirit, I think. Like, we want what we want, but I want what God wants, but I am the flesh and the spirit, and so I'm just trying to take that surgical knife and remove it, but it's a process that takes time.
Fair enough. All right. Lizzie, how do you feel about closing us out in a prayer here?
Yes, I can do that. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this time that Bridger and I can spend talking about hearing your voice. And I hope that through what we've discussed today, please use our thoughts and feelings to share your voice with someone who's listening. And please bless all our listeners and give peace where peace is needed and strength where strength is needed and every other good thing that comes from you. Distribute it where you see fit. Please help us continue to thrive and make an impact in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lizzie.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me on again.
Not a problem. Talk to you again soon.
Okay. Bye.
Good. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Reconnect, Stories of Faith and Friendship. I hope today's discussion has encouraged you to slow down, quiet the noise, and listen for God's voice in the everyday moments of your life. Remember, he's always speaking. We just need to tune in. Next time, we'll dive into a powerful and challenging topic, loving others as Christ loves us. Until then, stay connected to God, to yourself, and to those around you. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this podcast with someone who might need encouragement this week. I'm Bridger Moreland, and this has been Reconnect, Stories of Faith and Friendship, a production of the West Nashville Church. See you next time.